questions. You have them. Let's open up the mailbag in today's Godcast Q&A.
Hello, this is Frank Sasso here with the Who's Your Daddy Godcast Q&A. With me as usual, you know her, you love her, my wife, my girlfriend, Christina Sasso.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Had a nice little walk today.
Yes, it's very nice brisk. And cold, finally.
Brisk in New Jersey. Yes, we got the Godcast Q&A.
Good.
Got a bunch of questions. This is from the whole month of January.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And a little bit of December.
Okay.
Well, let's get going. Okay. Let's jump right in with this first one.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Father Forgiveness.
Oh, I like that.
He calls this question, or even whatever it is, Grace, 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 What About Living Holy?
Okay.
From Father Forgiveness.
Okay.
Buckle up.
I'm okay.
Frank and Christina Sasso and the others that preach their message of grace need to be very careful. Our message of grace. Those listening to this Hyper Grace podcast will most likely find that because of the strong emphasis on grace, that no teaching against sin or on repentance, judgment, or hell, that there's an atmosphere of loose living with many listeners probably involved in sexual immorality and drunkenness, as well as other physical vices. Oh, that's nice.
All right, whatever.
He's calling all listeners a bunch of drunks and...
Okay.
Sexual deviants.
It's okay. Go ahead.
The reason for this is the law is our schoolmaster that leads us to Christ. Galatians 3:24. Right.
Okay.
Because through the moral law comes the knowledge of sin. Romans 3:20.
Right.
If the moral law of the Ten Commandments is not preached or at least alluded to, then in ignorance the people will live foolish lives and will be like the blind leading the blind because where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Proverbs 28:18.
I'll wait.
Let Father Forgiveness finish.
Okay, it's okay. He's entitled
to his talk here. There are many other things I could mention regarding these hyper-grace people and their preaching, like how it is one step away from universalism, the belief that all people will eventually be saved, whether they believe the gospel or not. I don't believe that. And liberalism, because an increasing amount of scripture is eviscerated because it is culturally offensive, like husbands being the head of the house, views on homosexuality. I am the head of the house.
And aren't I'm the I? Neck.
Yeah, and you're the neck, right. But I am the head. You're the neck, I'm the head. Okay. I believe antinomianism. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
I don't know what that is,
Father Forgiveness. Anyway, I believe antinomianism is a dangerous trend in evangelicalism and is something we need to lovingly take a stand against with our brothers and sisters who espouse it.
Go ahead.
I have a question for these podcaster preachers. So, finally, why is it that you only preach on righteousness and grace and not sin and hellfire? Are you afraid of something?
No.
Really? Father Forgiveness? Well, first of all, you shouldn't call no man father, number one. So I'm not going to call you father. I'll call you Mr. Forgiveness. This is why we only preach on righteousness and grace and not sin and hellfire. Because we're not going to preach on something that's been dealt with, that's dead. Sin has been dealt with. And we're not going to hell. We preach on righteousness and grace because no one knows about it, including a lot of believers. Are we afraid of something? Yeah. Here's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of garbage teaching getting out there and having people think that they got to do something to earn favor with God.
Mm.
That's one thing I'm afraid of, people getting cultivated in their life, that belief.
I'm sorry, I was hung up on nominalism, so I looked it up. According to Wikipedia...
Anti-nominalism.
Well, I looked up nominalism. In metaphysics...
Yeah.
Nominalism is a
I love that we're not editing this.
Philosophical view...
Yeah.
...which denies the existence of universals and abstract objects, but affirms the existence of general or abstract terms and predicates.
I don't even care.
There are at least two main versions of nominalism.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know what that is,
care.
And I don't care.
No one cares.
Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care.
Oh, Mr. Forgiveness. So, yeah, why do we only preach on righteousness and grace?
Well, there was something he said that I wanted to address. The law is our schoolmaster that leads us to Christ.
True.
Right? Because we can't fulfill the law.
Right.
The law is there to show us that we cannot fulfill it.
Right.
That we need a Savior.
Right.
And praise the Lord, praise Jesus, He's our Savior. He fulfilled every aspect of the law, and then He attributed it to us.
Okay.
So I, through Jesus, have fulfilled every speck of the law.
Every bit of it.
Every bit of it. The past to the present to the future.
Love it.
I have been forgiven, and I have fulfilled the law through Jesus Christ. So right. I am now the righteousness of Christ.
Right. You're the righteousness of God through Him.
Right, right. I'm trying to remember what it was that perks my interest. There's an atmosphere.
Oh, that old people will be eventually saved?
No.
You grimaced when I said that.
Wait. Strong emphasis on grace. Yes. There is a strong emphasis on grace, and I will not apologize for that.
No.
Never will I apologize for the emphasis on grace. And no, I will not apologize for not teaching on sin.
Hmm.
Because we were in a church where sin was, oh my God, every week you got told
sin.
About your sin. But meanwhile, nobody was talking about how the sin has been forgiven and addressed and taken care of by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's already been paid for. Oh, that was
that one little part there.
That was my little video thing today that I did.
That's right.
So you say you want a revolution.
No, a revelation.
A revelation.
It's the name of your own show.
I was saying it's already paid for. It's already paid for. Okay, so that doesn't mean we're giving you a license to sin. Yeah, okay, it's paid for. So go out and do your drunkenness, your sexual immorality, your blah, blah, blah.
That kind of thinking comes from a sinful nature.
Yeah, I think you are focused too much on immorality and drunkenness. And why are you thinking about that all the time?
And you're calling our listeners that too. How dare you?
But hey, you're entitled to your opinion. And thank you for your...
But that's not an opinion.
It's his opinion.
That all listeners are a bunch of drunk sexual deviants?
Baby, it's his opinion, and he's entitled to it. He's entitled to write in, and I appreciate his taking the time to do that. But I just want to get to that. Well, not pretty sure I alluded to. Then in ignorance, the people will foolish
bear
lies.
With us, listeners.
And the blind leading.
While Chris is skimming.
No prophetic vision. The people cast off restraint. Oh, okay, I don't understand how that fits in with what you're saying.
What?
When he says there's no prophetic vision. When there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he keeps the law.
What he's saying is,
we're
not prophets.
But wait, that's Proverbs 28:18.
Right.
And that's Old Testament, which I'm not saying take the Old Testament and throw it away.
Right.
But please understand the Old Testament has and the law has been fulfilled. So you don't have to live in the Old Testament. You have to look at the Old Testament and know that it's been fulfilled and live a righteous life.
Yeah. Right.
Was one step away from universe, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Love wins, blah, blah, blah. And liberty because an increased amount of scripture is eviscerated because it's culturally offensive, like husbands being the head of the house, blah, blah, blah. Why is it that you only preach on righteousness and grace and not sin and hellfire?
Right.
Here's why. Because sin has been addressed.
Right.
If I accept the finished work of Jesus Christ, I don't have to worry about sin or hellfire.
Hmm.
So I don't preach on it because I would rather preach the good news, which is Jesus risen from the dead and Jesus having done it all.
Right.
And that's what I will preach to the people that are outside of that.
Right.
The people that haven't accepted Jesus. The people who are living under the law. The sinners of the world. The worldly people.
Yeah.
I'm preaching the love of Jesus and the grace of Jesus because that is what's going to draw them to Him, not sin and hellfire. Because they're already living in sin and hellfire.
Right.
They already have access to that. What they don't have access to is grace, forgiveness, and love. And that's what I'm preaching to people. Whether they're homosexuals, whether they're, you know, mass murderers, whether they're whatever, that's what I'm preaching. And if you don't like it, then turn it off.
Take that, Mr. Forgiveness.
But we love you, and we say that in love, and I just get a little passionate, and forgive me if it came out a little bit.
All right, I got to move on.
All right.
I've had enough of that.
Okay.
Denny 2918 says, "I love the Godcast Q&A theme so much that I made it my ringtone." Actually, I'm a college student at Central Michigan University in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Flying C says hi. Who's Flying C? Central Michigan University in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Flying C says hi.
Hi.
Anyway, I was in class and my friend Scott called me and my phone rang with questions. You have them. And my professor turned and said, "I was just about to ask that." So fun. Are there any other sound clips I can download? No, this is not like a ringtone library where you have like ringtones of me laughing and Christina screaming about righteousness and like JJ going, "Questions, you have them." I don't have a library and I'm not building one. I'm sorry. You want to? I'll tell you what. All right, Denny. You want them? You got them. Build it, and I'll post it. Go through all of our Godcasts. Pick out your best clips. Download Audacity. It's a free sound editing program. It's on Mac and PC. It's free. Make little clips. Export them as MP3s, and then zip them all up and email them to info@historywithgod.org, and I will make a special section on the website under resources, under free downloads.
Oh, I love that.
And you do it, I will post it. I am not doing it, you do it. And I will gladly post it. Next.
Okay.
Okay, the title of this is...
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
This is called "This Is What Keeps Me in the Church." "Who's Your Daddy" is a lifeline to me. Living in rural southeast Kansas,
thank you.
Having this connection to the cutting edge, forward-looking thinkers, writers, and leaders in the church make it possible for me to continue as a follower of Jesus. Oh, thank you very much.
That's so nice. Where is he from again?
Rural southeast Kansas.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
Listening to this.
I'm thinking like someone in Michigan, someone in Kansas. That's so cool.
That is cool when they say where they're from.
Thank you for saying that.
Okay, Cindy Beamy.
Yay.
Am I supposed to ignore the Old Testament because there's a new covenant? No, we were just saying this. No.
Well, you finish do not, the question.
That's
finish.
It.
Oh, okay.
Am I supposed to ignore the Old Testament because there's a new covenant? Absolutely not. And we've heard so many times over the years, you know, "Oh, we've been freed from the law." No. You've been freed from the law. You've been freed from the bondage of the law.
Right.
Not the law itself. You haven't been freed from the law. Like, you just do whatever you want. You've been freed from the bondage of the letter of the law. That's what you've been freed from.
Right. And actually, the Old Testament is very rich in Jesus. The Old Testament is all about Jesus.
The Old Testament is Jesus concealed, and the New Testament is Jesus revealed.
Right.
Right?
Like, just reading Isaiah, it's all over the place in the Old Testament. So, no, do not ignore the Old Testament. It is rich with information. Hmm. And if anything, it'll just make you grateful that we're not living in the Old Testament.
Yeah. And you go listen. I'm telling you, go listen to The True Nature of God on our website. It's under historyofgod.org. Go to resources and click on teachings, I think it is, or free downloads. I think it's free downloads. That's what it is. It's under free downloads. Andrew Womack, it's a 5-part MP3 series, The True Nature of God. It will change your life. He goes through the Old Testament, and it the way he explains that, about how God was so ruthless back then, and why is he all about love now? He's never changed.
Right.
He explains it, and it makes so much sense.
Right.
So go download that. All right. Gregory. I googled Milton Berle because I heard about him on the Year in Review for 2017. Then I YouTubed him. He was around like 100 years ago. Was he supposed to be the Madea of that time? Madea?
Madea is...
Is that that Tyler Perry character?
Yes. No.
Oh.
He was...
Was he Christian? I have no idea.
I think he's Jewish.
Milton Berle, really?
I think so.
Maybe he was a messianic believer.
I have no idea about his religious beliefs. I just know he was one of the pioneers of early TV. And
I wasn't a fan. I didn't like him.
Well, it's not like...
I didn't get it.
Because he's a different time. It's a different time.
I think Henny Youngman's hysterical. I don't think
Henny Youngman.
Well, I think Henny Youngman was very, very funny. I love...
Well,
Rochester, who's a Jack Benny. Benny was the same time.
Right, but I'm just, different people appeal to different people. He is a pioneer in early TV.
I met Milton Berle once in Atlantic City.
Was he nice?
No. He wasn't.
Okay.
At least to me that day.
Well, you are also obnoxious when you meet famous people, so okay, I'm going to give him a lot of grace.
I'm obnoxious.
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
Prof. Bennett, as in Professor Bennett.
Okay. Gotcha.
And he calls this message zesty.
Mm.
Who he mentions here. I am a professor of theological studies at Westcott House in Cambridge, England. There's really only one way to describe the Who's Your Daddy Godcast. Zesty.
Ooh.
That's really the only way to describe it? Really? You're a professor?
I'm okay with that.
Okay. The theological, philosophical, and sociological are delivered with passion, purpose, depth, and humor. I often teach my theology classes from material on this show. Oh my
Whoa,
God.
You're teaching all the way in England, right? One of my favorite
books. Most recently, I conducted my own game of Your Bible or Bull that I changed to Bible or Bullocks.
Yay!
I bet Mrs. Sasso will like that one.
Yes!
God bless your work.
I love it. Oh, thank you.
He knew. He even said, I bet Mrs. Sasso will like that one. And
thank you.
You reacted before I even got that line out. God bless your work. Thank you, Professor Bennett.
God
I hope you don't get fired.
God bless you.
I have a feeling that's not your name, but that's cool.
God bless you.
Okay.
Oh, and bless your students.
Tiberius G. out of prison. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I really effed up my life.
Okay.
I am divorced. Broke. Just got out of prison 2 months ago for drug dealing. I spent 4 years in jail. Nobody will hire me now. My family and friends have shut me out of their lives. I have no friends anymore. One good thing is that this podcast kept me going while I was in prison, and I accepted the Lord Jesus while I was in there. Frank is my man. I tried going to church, but no churches preach like this podcast. Can you offer me any guidance? I don't want money or even a job. I just want to know what to do. I'm starting from nothing with nothing. I sleep at shelters at night. I'm not on drugs. Never was. I just sold them. I'm from Chicago and need help. I'll do whatever you guys say because I know you hear from God in heaven. Please help me. I'll be listening. Okay, wow. Tiberius.
I'm very honored.
Chicago.
By your email.
Yes, amen. And I'm very touched that I'm your man. Here's the thing. I believe Bill Winston's in Chicago.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
I think so. I'm not sure.
Here's what I would do. I have your email, Tiberius. I will email you offline his information. Bill Winston, man, oh man, that guy, I can listen to him preach all day long.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him in person in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He gave a prophecy that came true to us online with $100 appearing in my hand, remember? Mm-hmm. I will email you his information, Tiberius, but I also need you to keep us posted, okay, buddy? Everything's going to be okay.
And
thank you for that really nice compliment. That is really appreciated.
And don't give up. Even though...
Where can he go from here? He can only go up.
No, but what I'm saying is everything might look so impossible, but something that you hold on to is that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. No thing. I mean, nothing.
Right.
Meditate on nothing is impossible with God.
Right. Your story is going to bring people so much hope.
Right. So, yeah. Okay. So you made a mess, whatever. That's fine. We all made messes. We all made messes in different places, in different ways. We all were a mess before we came to know who Jesus was.
Yeah.
So my advice is just fall in love with Jesus. Spend time with him. We live in an age where I don't know if you have access to internet, but you can definitely find some great preaching and teaching online.
Well, he sent this email, so he has some kind of access.
Like, just some resources. There's Creflo Dollar, there's Kenneth Copeland, there's Andrew Womack.
That's the guy, man, right there.
For teaching, Andrew Womack is my favorite. To teach actual, like, understanding, it'll help you get your own revelation on what the word says.
Yeah.
And let the Holy Spirit give you wisdom. Pray in the Spirit. You can pray in the Spirit anywhere, anytime. You could do it under your breath. Nobody has to hear you. And he will download information and wisdom that you'll know it has to come from him because you know it can't come from you.
Right, exactly.
So be encouraged. This is the beginning of
greatness.
Absolutely.
And
we're excited that we're traveling this road with you, and you will be in our prayers
Tiberius
every day.
G. This is so cool. Dude, this is exciting, man. Get excited. It's okay.
I'm just on Bill Winston's website right now. on my phone. It's not letting me.
I'm gonna send him an email offline.
All right.
I just want to move because we have a lot of stuff here.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, next one is from W. Boiler. When is Christina's show coming out? I can't get enough of her. Neither can I.
Woo!
We just did the first episode today.
Yes.
So it'll be coming out this week. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye on the website. You'll see it. Into JoJo. Okay. How the hell can you say something amazingly crazy like you are promised tomorrow? That's what my pastor screamed at me in front of a huge Sunday service when he found out that I said that to my home group the Wednesday before. I'm typing this on my phone in my car in the parking lot of my church. This just happened. I love this podcast, and I was given a choice to make in front of my church to either publicly declare to stop listening to this podcast or risk being told to leave my church. I told my pastor that it was his choice to make to keep me or not because I wasn't going to stop listening and that maybe he should become a listener, that it might help his teaching be more on point.
Oops.
Okay there, Into JoJo. I feel like I'm getting kicked out of church all over again.
No, we're right here with you.
I was told to leave and never come back unless equipped with an apology. Mm. He said that the, quote, Who's Your Daddy podcasters are the lowest form of spiritual bile and should be locked up forever without any light. They're animals. Really? Is that all you got?
Wow.
I've heard worse. He said this from the pulpit. Mm. Do you know of a good church in the Teller County, Colorado area? I need some sound teaching here because I'm sure it's not biblical what my pastor did. Not biblical at all, Into JoJo. Not biblical. His behavior was abominable. Abominable.
And unfortunately, that's why a lot of non-Christians run away from churches.
How dare he?
But hey, you know what? He's going through his stuff.
Teller County, Colorado.
But it's funny because I was just thinking today about when we got kicked out of church. And I was thinking, you know what? Even though it was horrible going through it at the time, because people who you thought were your friends, you found out were not, it was actually the best thing that ever happened to us. So I want to encourage you that you might lose a lot of people in your life that you thought, you know, were close friends. And it feels miserable because you just feel totally betrayed. So here's two things.
Yeah, one.
You're in really good company because exactly happened to Jesus.
Jesus got kicked out of the temple.
Yep. I mean, the religious people hated him.
Absolutely.
And he, you know, he knew who he was and he knew what he had to preach. And I'm sure when he was betrayed by his own friends, that was very painful for him.
Mm.
But ultimately, he had to do it. And ultimately, for you, it's going to be the best thing that ever happened to you.
Right. If we didn't get kicked out of church, we wouldn't even have this podcast.
We wouldn't have this podcast.
You wouldn't even be listening to us.
We wouldn't have the ministry we have.
No.
So be encouraged by that. The only thing I think about in Colorado is I know Andrew Womack is in Colorado.
She's in Teller County, Colorado.
I don't know.
Again, we'll look that up and we'll get in touch with you offline about that, too.
But I know for sure that Andrew Womack is in Colorado. I just don't know what part and how close that is to you. But certainly look up Andrew Womack Ministries. He's got Charis Bible College there. Lots and lots of resources. And I feel since he is, that's his main location, Colorado, that he's got churches.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you're
in that area in Colorado under his umbrella, and that is a great place to go.
Right.
In my opinion.
Good stuff. Oh, by the way, Tiberius, if you're still listening, you say you have no friends. You got two right here.
Yeah, and you have actually
the ultimate friend.
The ultimate friend
in Jesus.
Right, and he's right there with you right now.
He's right there, and we're over here.
Yeah.
But we're still your friends. Okay. I can't read this name. It's like a code. Okay, but you'll know who it is when I read it. Okay. Amazing show. Some very fresh ingredients for brewing a tasty doctrine. When is the next manuscript coming out? Okay, I'm glad you asked that. The next book is coming out. It's out of my hands. Amazon has it, and I'm just waiting for them to release it to their website where people can buy it.
You said November.
Well, I was done in November.
Okay, but so the hold up
so
is
I'm just,
not you.
The hold up is Amazon. We're just waiting. We thank you so much for keeping on this, people. I know, and And, you know, we have at least one partner who's desperately, she's clawing at the walls. You know who you are. Mm-hmm. D. Okay? So it's coming. I'm emailing them like pretty much every, like a couple times a week, just trying to find out some information. So it's coming. Don't worry. It's coming.
Okay.
Claire. My doctor is a believer and he's single. He's very attractive and very rich. He keeps hitting on me and wants to date me. I'm a little homely looking and a little overweight. What should I do? Grab him. What do you mean, what should you do?
Wait a minute.
Grab him.
Wait.
He's a believer. He's single. He's attractive. He's rich. Why not? Don't let him go.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
What?
First of all, I'm assuming he's not married.
Can we go through this? Like, can I just unpack this? He's a believer. Number.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
God, Frank. All right. You have to do a little bit of an interview here. I don't know how much you know about him. So I'm going to be the voice of reason here. Like, just because he says he's a believer, well, you know, is he really? Or, you know, is he hitting on you? How is he hitting on you? Like,
okay.
If he's a believer, how's he hitting on you? You know, like, I just have some questions. So I would be wary. But right. Here's the thing. You're the prize. He's got to chase you. You're the one he's going after. He has to pursue you in the right way. Do not make it easy for him. I'm not saying play games. I'm not saying, you know, play hard to get or any of that. But be wise. If you want to start very small, like...
Like, how should she start?
Like, let's meet for a cup of coffee at a public...
Okay.
You know, coffee house.
Sure.
Where there's lots of people and we don't have to commit to... a big dinner and lots of time. Let's chat over coffee. And you interview him. What are your intentions, my friend? Like what do you want from a woman? What do you want from a relationship? Are you looking for a marriage? Are you looking for kids? Are we in agreement in that? How do you feel about money? What, like, you need to interview him. And if he has a problem with that, then say so long. Say, oh, you have a problem? Well, then, hey, I guess you're not serious. I don't need you. You're the one who asked me out. So, there.
And I think...
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
Homely? Did you say you were homely?
I was just gonna get into this.
Excuse me.
He said a little homely looking.
Listen.
And a little overweight.
Wait a minute.
Good.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing because we're women. I know I'm a woman and I know how you judge yourself. Please put that away. You are a precious, beautiful, awesome person and a most beautiful queen, princess of the Most High God, woman. So don't put yourself down and go out with confidence in who you are and whose daughter you are, and like I said,
maybe he sees her the way God sees her.
Exactly. I don't want to judge him like, oh, he's a bad guy. He might be a great guy. But I also,
based on what I'm reading,
I also want her to, you know, if he's serious, then he'll stick around through the interview and he'll stick around through what she needs him to do to make her feel safe and secure in this upcoming relationship. There you go. That's my advice.
I'm just like, my doctor's a believer, he's single, very attractive, very rich, wants to date me, I'm homely, I'm overweight, what do I do? It seemed very black and white to me.
Right, because you're a guy.
Because I'm a guy.
All right.
Okay.
So I hope that helps you, Claire.
Please keep us posted, people.
Yes.
We got to know some of these outcomes.
And we have a lot of praying to do. So,
my gosh.
And then while I'm praying, I want to make sure that there's praise reports that I can say, yay. Mm. Okay.
Anyway. All right.
Go ahead.
All right, Tom. My name is Tom. Not really. Okay. I can't wait to see what Tom has to say. And I'm 15 years old.
Oh.
I love the Lord, and I love this podcast. Okay, so far so good. Mm-hmm. Why the fake name? This is going to sound a little weird. Oh, here's why. This is going to sound a little weird, but I think I'm hooked on the markers at school. I smell them like crazy. I smell them like crazy and love how smelling them makes me feel. Does that make me an addict? How do I stop? I can't stop doing this. I find myself taking them out of classrooms to bring home and smell. What do I do?
Dude.
All right. All right.
First of all, you're 15 years old. Stop stealing markers. They're not... You're stealing markers. Stop doing that, number one. Number two, what? I can't relate to...
I was going
to
say that, too. I can't relate to this because I never was addicted to anything like that.
Well, didn't you do something with glue on your hands or something?
Oh, that was Elmer's glue.
What was that?
Elmer's glue. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. You take your Elmer's glue, you squeeze it onto your hands, you smear it on your hands.
Yeah.
Right? It has nothing to do with smelling it. Oh, and then then you let it dry.
Yeah.
And then you peel it off and you make a ball out of it.
Yeah. And then what?
That's it.
That's it?
Uh-huh. You try and peel it off in one big piece.
Oh, it's like a game.
Yeah.
Like half a glove kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, I don't think it has anything with Tom.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Tom, what?
Well... Can you tell the story of that Creflo Dollar thing about smoking pot?
Yes, okay, here's what you do, Tom. You're going to like this, dude, all right? I'm not going to tell you to stop smelling the markers. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, try this right now. Go get one of them markers right now. I'll wait. Or just hit pause and come back. Okay. Okay, you just hit pause again. Uncap the marker. Smell the marker. But before you smell the marker, I want you to say out loud, I'm the righteousness of God. And then smell the marker then. And every time you're tempted to get another whiff of that marker, I'm not going to say not to do it. I'm going to tell you, go do it. But just before you do it, I want you to verbally say, so you can hear it out loud, I'm the righteousness of God. And then try and... I'm telling you, you're going to get to the point, Tom, where you are not... You're not even going to want to smell the marker. Because the righteousness of God, that truth that is in you, you are a believer... You love the Lord. It's going to rise up and overpower the temptation to smell a marker. Because as the righteousness of God, one of your rights is the right to overcome temptation. Jesus did it, and so can you. Keep us posted. I want to hear about the victory on that.
How does he...
Because faith comes by hearing. And when you start... when you utter something that's truth,
mm-hmm.
that's a God characteristic of you,
mm-hmm.
it's going to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be able to be around sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying smelling a marker is sinful, but it's leading to you stealing markers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's leading to you now growing, having a dependency on that smell making you feel good. That's not based on Jesus. That's not keeping Jesus as the center.
It sounds like a little bit of a bondage there.
A little bit of bondage, maybe a little bit of an addiction forming.
Right.
And that could be a gateway to other things.
Right.
Who knows? Just say, I'm the righteousness of God, and then try and take a whiff of your marker
there. And understand
there.
What the righteousness of God means. So there's a little homework. I know you love homework. Do a little study on what it means to be the righteousness of God.
Go through our website. Go through our podcasts. Anywhere you see righteousness, you can even do a search in the search bar on our podcast. In the search bar of our website, type in righteousness, and you'll see all the stuff having to do with righteousness on our website. Dig in, man. Dig in. You're going to have a ball. And keep us posted.
Yes.
Okay? Okay. K-Man, 1979. I really enjoyed Keith's podcast on wealth and riches. Does he have a regular job? Yes, he does. Does he ever get in trouble if his boss hears him talking about money on the internet?
I don't know.
Well, we'll see Keith tomorrow. We'll ask him.
Yes, tomorrow's Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah, so we're going to be... U.S.
The U.A.
Sorry. I wanted to say U.K.
I don't know if it's Super Bowl Sunday in the U.K.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's
they don't
not.
Even do Super Bowl.
Arsenal.
Right. So we'll ask. We're going to actually be doing another podcast tomorrow. We're going to be recording it at Keith and Teresa's house while Chris talks some Cockney stuff. Okay. Next is from Charlotte. Yes, no. Okay. I recently read a book called Radical, Taking Back Your Faith from the American Dream by David Platt and was wondering if anyone read it.
Is it orange?
I don't know. I wonder if it's that orange book. If so, how do you reconcile his views on being wealthy? Platt says that the last thing God wants is for you to have wealth because it'll destroy you. To live poor is to live rich. Oh, God. I don't agree with this because it doesn't check out in the Word.
I don't agree with this because it doesn't check out in the word. I'd like to know what you teachers think before I read further. Your podcast teaching style may be a bit harsh at times, but it's at least the truth. Thank you.
Thank
stop
you.
Reading it. That's what I say.
Yeah.
If he's going to talk crap like that because it's a lie, stop. I'm not saying he's not saved. He's saved. He believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's fine. But if he's going to talk this is garbage. Stop reading it.
Yeah, were we given that book or
We were already kicked out. Keith was
given an orange book by this guy.
And it made its way to the bottom of his passenger car, the seat in the car.
Yeah, and we were reading it. We were driving somewhere reading it. And I was like, oh my God, this is...
Oh, we were on our way to see Joseph Prince.
It's not good. It's really not good.
Really bad stuff.
I mean, I'm not putting the guy down. He's obviously misinformed.
Yeah. Talk to him about it in heaven.
But I just... Actually, the you say you want a revelation is kind of... has to do with riches, and also it's not only riches, it's everything. God wants everything for you.
Yeah.
Really, what is it to be poor is to be what?
He says to live, he says that God says to live poor is to live rich. Show me in the Bible where it said where God says that.
It says, I give you all things greatly to enjoy.
I know.
It says, oh my God, I can't, I just get so frustrated
Charlotte,
with that.
Charlotte.
Here's the thing, Charlotte, if you're poor, and then there's a need in your job or your church or your community, what can you do to help? What good can you do to help? If you're wealthy, you're a billionaire, what could you do?
Right.
Yeah, does money ruin people? I just hate this.
I know.
It's so ignorant.
I know.
Does money ruin people? Absolutely. Absolutely, money ruins people. But you don't want to be rich just to be rich so that you can go out and, you know,
right. And
riotous living and go and, you know, whatever it is that you...
Well, then if money is so bad, then I hope he's taking the proceeds of this book and giving it away. Why doesn't he just quit his job?
I don't even care, to be honest with you, what
the
he does.
The whole thing.
I just want you to know that that is not biblical. That is someone who doesn't understand righteousness.
Right.
That is someone who thinks that humility means you have to be sick and broke and
disgusted
and be in
and just,
sackcloth
right.
and ashes.
Right.
And that is absolute heresy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it's heresy.
It is heresy.
Because it is not what God says.
Just throw it away.
Read the Word of God and take that book and don't... I would tear it up and throw it away. If you have a bonfire,
or
put
it
in it. This way nobody else can get their hands on it.
Yeah, burn it. It's one less book out there. Okay, Charlotte, we love you. Pray for David Platt. Okay, Frank's book, part two. Love, love, love the book. God loves you and gave you power. When is the next one coming? I can't wait. When in caps and 5 question marks. Okay, again, Amazon has it. I'm just waiting on them. I email them a couple of times a week. I'm still waiting to hear.
So it's done.
It's done. We're just waiting for the release. It's coming.
Yeah.
Believe me. Believe me. You're going to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Forgive me. I'm going to try and pronounce this correctly. Teshushan Levinier. And it's titled Keith-Frank. Do Keith and Frank hang out all the time? I love in the Year in Review episode hearing Christina in the background. Frank's snicker to her quick, unsolicited comments are such genuine evidence that their relationship is godly and mutually respectful. Does Frank ever get on Christina's nerves, though? Never. When Keith and Frank were recording together, did she ever have an eye-rolling moment like many wives, including me, have? You know, you may have heard a couple of questions ago her saying, God, Frank!
I have many eye-rolling moments.
What do you mean, many? I'll give you a few. What do you mean, many? You do?
Many.
Like, name one.
Oh, come on.
I can't think of one
right now.
Of course you can, because they're not many. I think they get enlarged in your head.
Yeah, right.
You can't name one.
I can't.
You can't.
One right now.
You.
You know why I can't name one? You know why I can't name
I'm
one
waiting.
Right now? Because I choose to let it go and forget it. Forgive and forget. There you go. So I can't recall all your mistakes.
Not even one.
Not.
Wow.
One.
All right. All right there, Tesh.
So I'm right there with you.
This is called Bloodline.
Yeah.
Can Christina draw a bloodline around my neighborhood like she did hers? I tried, and I don't think it took. You probably did it wrong.
No, don't say that.
Yeah. Things in my neighborhood have gotten worse since I drew one.
Okay.
Please help. Crazy gang activity, drugs, shootings. My neighbor got mugged last week. I live in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Aw, thank you, Birmingham.
Draw a bloodline for her, please.
Well, first of all, wait a minute.
What?
I don't want to be your source.
I don't believe this. I don't know if it's a she or a he. I don't believe they're making you because they tried it.
All right, I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
I don't want to be your source, right. Meaning like, oh, I tried it, didn't work. Let me get, you know, Christina to do it. I'm not the source. You have the same power I have.
Right.
You have the same Jesus I have. You have the same Holy Spirit I have. I'm not saying I'm not going to do it, but I just want to clarify that, okay, we'll get in this together. We'll get in the trenches together. And don't give up. Because here's the thing. You put it out there, right? You drew that bloodline. The devil heard you.
Right.
And what he wants to do is throw you off your faith. He wants to move you. He wants to move you off that line of faith. So he's going to now, when you take that stand, he's going to push back. But the word says, when you've done all the stand. So you're going to get pushback.
Right.
So you take a stand, you say a prayer, you take your position of faith, you make your demand, you claim it, and you stand on it, and then, oops, the devil comes along and tries to say, oh, you see, that prayer doesn't work.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. Look, it's getting worse. We walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You're still going to stand on that faith declaration that bloodline is there and that your neighborhood is already changed. Now you just have to wait for the natural to catch up.
Wasn't that like in that book you read about the foxes or something?
Yeah, that was
a bloodline, and then things seemed to have gotten worse. And then it was the you were thinking, oh, that must be the foxes, those things that are happening.
Yeah, I'd have to read it again. Yeah. But so yes, we will stand with you.
Amen.
In your declaration for your neighborhood,
Birmingham, Alabama,
we declare and we claim Birmingham, Alabama for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't care what we see because we walk by faith and not by sight. It's already done.
Right.
So in the spirit, it's already finished. It's a done deal. There's a period at the end of that sentence. Now we are going to stand in faith no matter what we see, hear, taste, touch, smell, and believe that that city is the city of righteousness.
Because you're there.
And because you're there. And if you're the only one there, it's still the city of righteousness.
Right. So gang activity, drugs, shootings, muggings, rapes, pillaging,
yes,
all stops now.
Right now, in
the
name of Jesus.
Lord Jesus. Okay.
Thank you for Birmingham, Alabama.
Diane9118 writes in, little boy needs help. All right, let's see what we got here. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus and reside in Henderson, Nevada. A lot of people telling me where they live now. People are like paying attention.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Henderson, Nevada. Okay. Is it possible for my child to be demon-possessed? He's very disruptive in school, never stops talking, gets other children in trouble. He makes fun of the other children all the time. It sounds like me when I was a kid.
Me too.
And yet his grades are very good. Oh, that doesn't sound like me
at all.
That's
me.
He passes all of his tests. I don't understand it. It's got to be a demon, right? He corrects the teacher repeatedly. Oh, it does sound like you. And disrupts his classes all the time with sarcastic remarks to his teachers and deans. His name is Ben, and I would like Frank and Christina to expel this demon from him, but I would still like his grades to be good. Just don't beat around the bush. Well, tell us exactly what you want.
We're the demons, but the grades stay the same. I was a kid in school, always had great grades. I did really well in school, but every single year my mom had to come up and talk to the teachers.
Because you would make fun of other kids?
No. I wasn't. I was just very talkative. And they would separate me and put me in my own little, space.
You. Yep. You were very talkative.
Yep. They would put me all by myself, or they'd put me with the quiet kids. Because not only would I talk to the kids, but I would also get the other kids in trouble. So I was wasn't just like I would be an instigator. Yeah. So wow. When I was even little, when I was being taken care of by Sister Shira, where my mother used to leave me at this.
I was going to say, no one knows what that means.
My mother used to leave me at this church, and the nuns were there because I was too small to be in school.
Like a rectory or a convent?
It was like a convent. I don't really remember. It was like kind of like a convent, and kids would be babysat there.
Oh, okay.
Like and the kid. Nuns would take care of the kids gotcha. While the moms were working.
It was free, I'm sure.
I don't know. I don't think it was free. But anyway, so what had happened was, you know, there was nap time. And that would be the time where we all go in our little cots and we take a nap.
Yeah.
And what would happen is I could never nap. I just never was a napping child. So what I would do is I'd rile the other kids up and we'd all get up and we'd sing or we'd play games and none of the other kids then could nap. So Sister Shira was the one who was, I guess,
in charge
of me.
In charge of you. You had your own nun.
She found out. She actually came back and watched and saw what I did. And so her answer was not to reprimand me. What she did was she just removed me and she took me with her. And we would, like, bake cookies. So this way the kids could take a nap, but yeah. I would still be occupied.
Right.
So I got to spend time with her, which was really, really great. But
yeah.
Just so that maybe he's not possessed by a demon. Maybe he's just really super intelligent.
Yeah, maybe he's just bored.
And bored.
I know, I was bored in school.
But we will pray for wisdom so you know what the right thing to, thing to do is.
We're not going
to
expel a demon. He doesn't have a demon.
I don't think, my opinion is I don't think he has a demon. I think he's super intelligent, and I think he's bored, and he's challenging. He's like, to me, when I hear about kids like that, those are the kids that I think are going to be the leaders.
Yeah.
So
they don't want to be in the millionaires and billionaires.
Yeah,
country.
So I don't know if you want to squash that. Right. Yeah, you want him to be obedient, and you want him to be respectful and so on. I get that. But
well, she doesn't say how old Ben is.
Mm.
She does refer to him as her child. So he's got to be, like, anywhere between 5 and 10, I would think. Maybe. I'm guessing.
I don't know. We will pray for wisdom.
But for him to be sarcastic.
Yeah, that's...
There's some
intelligence
there.
To be sarcastic.
And also, he has no problem publicly correcting his teacher repeatedly.
I know, but like we're laughing here because we're not in the midst of it, but you have to deal with it, so we understand that.
I think you have a genius kid on your hands.
But we will pray.
We will pray
for wisdom. Actually,
he knows enough to keep his grades good.
Yeah.
That's like the, what's he going to do? You know, he's doing good.
Right, right. Well, thank you, Lord, for... Does she give his name? Ben?
Ben.
Yes, Ben.
Yes, Ben.
Thank you, Lord, for Ben. Thank you that you have a special plan and purpose for Ben in his life. I thank you that you would reveal to his mom what she needs to do to access the spirit,
yes,
your spirit in him,
right,
that she can help him navigate in a way that is...
fruitful for him and the kingdom.
And that is, yeah, for your purposes, and also is not insulting or, you know, hard on the people around him. Thank you, Lord. You have a perfect plan and path,
yes,
for Ben.
Yes.
And we thank you that it is revealed to his parents and his mom. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, that it gets drawn out.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. All right, Diane, keep us posted. And finally, this is from... Holy Landfill 1313. Holy Landfill 1313. Can demons do good deeds in someone's life and make it look like God doing it? Well, let me see. The devil is often referred to as an angel of light, that he comes like an angel of light, as an angel of light, meaning he's not. As far as doing good deeds, I've heard it said before that the devil can prosper you. You know, people would think that that's a good thing. But his ultimate plan is to get you away from God. Right. So I think the devil and demons will do anything they can do, good, bad, indifferent, to get you not to focus on what the truth is, the word of God, what right. God has for you.
So what something might look like a good thing,
right,
ultimately ends up being a nightmare. A
nightmare, exactly.
So that's why you need to walk with the Holy Spirit in wisdom.
Yes, you need that discernment.
Sure. Right, so you know that, oh, this looks like a good deal, and then it's just a disaster.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, absolutely. I do think demons act that way.
Sure.
Yeah. They counterfeit things.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Well, that was certainly lively. I'm a little tired.
I love the cute
I think names. I need a nap. Why don't you go bake some cookies while I take a nap? Well, I wanted to, two things. I wanted to encourage our buddy Shane mm-hmm. and our buddy Andrew mm-hmm. in their journey of truth finding.
Yes.
And the purpose of their lives. They're actually two clients of mine, and they're also, I consider, two very close friends of ours as well. Shane lives in Georgia. We never actually met, but mm-hmm. I feel like we've been very, very involved with each other's lives. And Andy lives about 10 minutes away from us. Mm-hmm. He's another one of my clients, but also a good friend. So just want to encourage those two guys in their journey of truth-seeking. I know Shane has been listening to a lot of the podcasts, and Andy's been really delving into the Word. So it's very exciting.
Are you doing a podcast tomorrow with Mr. Keith?
We are going to be recording a podcast tomorrow.
Pre-Super Bowl?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. And you who's know, playing in the Super Bowl again?
The Patriots and the Indians? I don't know. I know the Patriots are playing.
Indians?
I don't know if that's even a team.
Is it Indiana?
Let me see. Let me just see here. Hang on a minute.
Well, Frank is going to make Super Bowl bread.
Yeah.
So he's got red dye and... Right. Well, not white dye.
But no, but when you cut the bread, it'll be white.
It'll be red and white because I think the teams are red and white.
Right.
And if...
Oh, the Patriots and the Falcons.
Ah, and they're
the
from...
The Indians.
And who are the Falcons? Where are they from?
Falcons are from Atlanta and the Patriots
Atlanta,
are from
Georgia?
England. Atlanta. Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, okay. So and Atlanta...
New England Patriots.
Well, New England is closer to New York.
Oh, here we go. So that means they're going to win. Don't place bets, people.
Please don't place bets.
Because we had someone say, hey, I tried that. Christina's method doesn't work. I lost like $50 or whatever he did. Who's telling you to bet?
Oh, and apparently, if you don't want to watch the Super Bowl halftime show, I think it's Lady Gaga this year.
Yeah.
You can watch the Puppy Bowl.
What the Puppy Bowl? What is that?
During halftime, it's a big field. Yeah. Well, it's not really a field. It's like an indoor to look like a field, like to look like a football field. And
gotcha.
They put all puppies in the field, and the puppies play. If you don't want to watch Lady Gaga,
so you're gonna watch puppies play for a half hour?
Yeah. Oh. Right. Just an option.
Maybe I'll just pick Joel Axum's brain for a half hour.
Yeah, there you go.
That should be fun.
So,
that's it.
Enjoy your day tomorrow.
Yes, enjoy Super Bowl. Don't feel guilty about watching the Super Bowl.
Right,
God likes the Super Bowl. And if you don't believe us, then you can go back and listen to a podcast in the archives called God Loves the Super Bowl.
God likes sports.
Yes, he likes sports, all kinds of sports.
Yes.
So until next time,
yes,
remember.
I just want to reiterate that a lot of you asked for prayer. We will be praying for
those
specific
needs. Take it very seriously.
Needs and... Please know that we are thinking about you, praying for you, and excited to hear your victory stories.
Yes, very looking forward much to that. I just... it's like a fractured statement. It sounded like Yoda. We very much are looking forward to that. So, yes. Okay, cool. So, until next time, remember this. We love you. God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. A History with God Ministries. Seeing,
hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.